Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 80, Text 43. Itam vitanyanekani vashatam guru vishmani kuror anugrahenaiva kuman kuna prashantaye. Lord Krishna continued, we had many similar experiences while living in our spiritual master's home. Simply by the grace of the spiritual master, a person can fulfill life's purpose and attain eternal peace. Om Jnanati Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksuru Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Sapadantikam Pancha Kaupa Turu Bhishtha Kripa Shindu Baye Bhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from the Bhakti Center. I'm in the city for monthly. I come and do programs, Yoga Maya tonight, Bhagavatam class here at 10:30, and on Tuesday night, in the Bhakti Center, I'll give a class. It's actually so nice staying here. I mean, to presume that it's just about a half hour walked in, and just the joy of hearing his ability to conceptualize and express philosophy. And he just came in to express to me some thoughts about kirtan. And it's very philosophical, and concern that when kirtan becomes too wild, and the way he expressed it, we'd be discussing kirtan, of course, begins with spiritual love, and it's expressed through the discipline of music. So the question is when people are over exuberant, is it a result of the mind, the intelligence, whatever, the emotions, or true spiritual feelings? And then, if it's a result of true spiritual feelings, then what should we do with it? You know, what should we do with it? What's the line? Should we roll on the ground in ecstasy? To what extent is it restrained? There's spiritual love, and there's the discipline of music, and then they become kirtan. But how careful one has to become that the spiritual love doesn't even become compromised by the discipline of music. And he was just telling me, you know, it's a surprise. He does, very rarely does he express his appreciation. He does, but he told me, you know, how much he enjoyed Niranjan Swami's kirtan. And it was such a nice description, you know. It was just so powerful, you know. And he said, you know, he was just by the door. He said he almost couldn't leave. It was so nice. And I was just thinking about it. That same experience, I was at the Revolves for one of their many grand openings of the restaurant they're opening up, and I spoke a little bit, and Arjun Swami did kirtan. It's the same thing. It's like, okay, I mean, it's not an extraordinary voice. It's nice. It's not extraordinary music. It's very competent. But the effect goes beyond the discipline of music, because there's nothing between filtering the spiritual love and the expression of music. The expression of music becomes a pure expression of spiritual love. From a material standpoint, you can't say why it's so good, the kirtan. But that could be the only answer. Because from a technical standpoint, there's so many great musicians. Of course, he's a great musician. But that effect, I was interested, I presume the appreciated the same thing. That somehow or other has such a potency. So that's the most powerful kirtan, when the nothing soils the spiritual love in its expression in the discipline of music, like one's ego or one's attachment to music. Or, and then he told a story where he was there when Prabhupada came out of the room, temple building or whatever. So the devotee vomited it. You know, they asked him, he said, boy, Prabhupada, that kirtan, I really enjoyed that kirtan. And Prabhupada stopped and looked at him. He said, no, kirtan's for the enjoyment of Krishna. So if someone does it in that mood, and yesterday I went out to Union Square Park, and there was some very nice kirtan there too. Ram Roy is empowered. There's no doubt about that. I mean, really had an effect. Of course, Kinchana Krishna was there on drums, and that was so nice, too. Now, this is Krishna speaking to Sudama Brahman, and I think we've all been enjoying this, relishing this dialogue. And Sukadeva Goswami, Arch Pickett, is enthusiastic to hear something. Well, he's already heard the 10th canto. He wants to hear something more. And Sukadeva Goswami obliges him by telling him this wonderful story of this poor Brahmin who, poor and pure, he only wants to serve Krishna, and even though he's so destitute, and somehow on the entreaty of his chaste wife, he goes to see Krishna. Later, I'm going to read maybe today in some of the commentaries, they ask, how can this be the result of devotional service? Ananya Chintyanta's mom, Krishna carries what we lack, so why should it? It's going to be discussed. But anyway, he's so pure, and he does finally come to see Krishna, and Krishna gets up from his seat and embraces him and washes his feet. The goddess of fortune fans him. Of course, people are a little bit surprised because he's so ragged. But ultimately, what pleases God is our heart. Or, the externals that are an expression of the heart. But either way, it is the heart. The Sharanagata, the surrender, the love, the bhakti, that mood of making yourself 100% available for the service of Krishna. That's love. That's love. That's to live in the world of love. Basically, you're making yourself available to the universe, the benefit of everyone. So they start to reminisce about the time spent in the ashram of their spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. And Krishna is explaining how wonderful that is, because the highest person, and that's what a spiritual teacher should be, is one who is interested in pure love and teaches that, not just rituals. And then Krishna explains further that the words he personally speaks come in the form of the spiritual master. So what's the words Krishna speak? The words are one's intention or will. So if you want to love God, you have to understand his intention or will. That comes through his words. And those words come, the words that God speaks come in the form of his trusted representatives. And to serve that desire, Krishna says, is the thing that satisfies him most. Faithful service to the spiritual master is the thing that satisfies him most. That's what Prabhupada taught. So the service is to the words, which represent the will. So faithful service to those words, to that will, is the most satisfying thing to Krishna, because it is love. And it satisfies him more than penance or austerities or rituals, which are not a direct expression of his love. They're an indirect expression of his love. And they may be mixed with fruit of desire. They may be mixed with desire for liberation. So the faithful service, he says, Krishna, the spiritual master, that's the most satisfying thing to me. And then Krishna tells a story where they serve their spiritual master, getting wood for a sacrifice, and unseasonable rains come, and they get stuck all night. But they serve their guru. And once they got the requisite wood, even during the storm, they didn't abandon it, because they had so much love. It was love. That was an offering of love. That was an expression. That wood would please their guru because it was his needs. They're so focused on that. And when their guru found them, he just saw them. You know, the body is so dear to everyone. But he said, but for me, you have given up all your comforts. It is a direct expression of love. I am indebted to you. Prabhupada came to 22nd Avenue. It was a direct expression of his love. He gave up his comforts. He took sannyas. He gave up his comforts. He traveled on the Jaladutta. He gave up his comforts. That's what love means. It's not about your comforts. But the desire of love or to please your beloved becomes more important than your comforts. And if your comforts are more important than your love is not that strong. And this is the strongest love. It's the love of Krishna, through the love of his teacher. And therefore, because the principle of the universe is so personal, this universe is based on love. God is love. In the sense that that's what the ultimate reality is relishing. And all these shaktis and potencies are an exchange of that. That's what Vyasadeva saw when he wanted to describe the ultimate reality. He saw Mayachitara Pasyam, God and his energies in their mutual exchange. So the guru tells Krishna and Sudama that to repay the debt to the spiritual master who gives one the treasure of spiritual direction, one should offer everything. But as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, but the guru does not exploit that. He accepts everything only for the service of Krishna. And as Prabhupada said, one should not take a farthing of that for personal sense gratification. And therefore, he wants to benedict the disciples, and he benedicts them with the most wonderful benediction, is that the truth that I gave you will never lose meaning. Just like the example is given in the purport of food that becomes stale. You leave it sit for a while. It's the same thing with knowledge. If you don't activate your good thoughts, you'll lose your good thoughts. You'll lose your good thoughts. The benediction is you won't lose them. There is a reason why people come to Krishna consciousness and have faith. And it's usually based on a very powerful experience to give them faith. But we see how many people, even if they stay within Krishna consciousness, forget that experience, which is based on bhakti and devotion. And therefore, their devotion slackens. So after explaining all this, Lord Krishna explains, we had many similar experiences while living in our spiritual master's home. Many experiences of this exchange of love. That's what the relationship between guru and disciple, it's an exchange of love. Many similar experiences. And then Krishna says that simply by the grace, anugrahena, guru anugrahena, by the mercy of the spiritual master, then purna, you become fulfilled, vishantaya, and you attain total peace. Text 44. Sri Brahmana Uvacha Kimasma Bir Anirvritam Deva Deva Jagat Guru Bhagata Satya Kamena Yesham Paso Guru Abhut. The Brahmin said, what could I possibly have failed to achieve, O Lord, O Lords? Lord of Lords, O Universal Teacher, since I was able to personally live with you, whose every desire is fulfilled at the home of our spiritual master. So everything, what fortune is that? Not only did he live at the home of his spiritual master, but his fellow classmate was the Supreme Lord. Almighty Lord, your body comprises the absolute truth in the form of the Vedas, and is thus the source of all auspicious goals of life, that you took up residence at the school of a spiritual master is simply one of your pastimes in which you play the role of a human being. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of the divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 80th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Brahman Sudama Visits Lord Krishna in Dwarka. So we'll go on to 81. And we'll see the blessings how the Lord blesses Sudama Brahman, who actually was very, very renowned. Shishuka uvacha sahitam dvijabukyena saha sankatayam hari sarvabhutam anobhigya smayamana uvachatam ramanyo brahmanam krishna bhagavan pahasantriyam prena nirikshane naiva preksham kalushitam gati. Sukhita Goswami said, so he's just told this beautiful story to Maharaj Prithit. And they are beautiful stories because the most beautiful thing is Madhurya. Madhurya means the sweetness of a person. It means his love, and his love means his expressions. It means his competency in relationship. That's the sweetness of a person. It's intimate love, which is expressed in relationships. That's what Krishna means. It's the embodiment of sweet relationships, full embodiment, Akila Rasam Vita Murti, full embodiment of the nectar of love. Akila Rasam Vita Murti. So Sukadeva Goswami, this is what the Bhagavatam is about. It's about God, and about God's love, and God's love in relationships. In a variety of relationships. So here's God's love to his friend. And about the disciples' love for their guru and the guru's love for their disciple, it's rasa. The whole Bhagavatam is about this. It's about the absolute reality, which is a manifestation of divine love. And it's about getting that divine love. By hearing about it and appreciating it and aspiring for it, living your life by it. But first you have to get that inclination to love God by hearing about God and becoming attracted to God. You become attracted to one because of his quality. So when you hear about the qualities of God, especially about his exchange of love with his devotees, you develop a natural inclination. And that's the nature, the budding nature of the soul manifesting. So this is one of the main ways in which that self becomes realized. That self is what? The self is consciousness, and consciousness achieves its maturity of fruition in love. So we're reading about the fruition of love. We're reading about the complete manifestation of love. And by hearing about it and appreciating that, it gives us a drop of that love. So Maharaj Prickett has just been hearing about this constantly. And he's getting faith. Faith in what? Faith in that love. So much faith in that love that he doesn't even want to eat or drink. That's how much faith he has. That's how much faith he has in the sublimity of prema bhakti. Sukadeva Goswami said, Lord Hare Krishna perfectly knows the hearts of all living beings, and he is especially devoted to the brahmanas. While the Supreme Lord, the goal of all saintly persons, conversed in this way, the best of the twice born, he laughed and spoke the following words to that dear friend of his, the Brahmin Sudama, all the while smiling and looking upon him with affection. So Krishna is conversing with the Brahmin. But he knows his heart, and therefore he's smiling. He's smiling because he sees that heart of love and dedication. He knows specifically that the cultured Brahmins coming to see his friend, who's not only the king, but he's the Supreme Lord. Then he doesn't want to come empty-handed. Just like Prabhupada said, when you go to the temple, you shouldn't come empty-handed. This is the culture. You come to a guest, you bring him something. that culture is more pronounced in some places than others. I know when I'm in Moscow, it really, no, not just devotees, anywhere, no one will go any place unless they bring some flowers or some fruits. And that's connected to a spiritual culture, isn't that? The dhati pratigrihati, that's the first principle of cultivating and love and exercising love within a cultural world. When you go someplace, you bring a gift to express love. It's in your heart. Now it's expressed. And that type of expression of love and the acceptance of love creates a very, very sweet atmosphere. So the Brahmin, but he didn't have anything, basically except his love. And the only expression of it, because usually when you express love, you want to offer the best, but he didn't have anything good. And that's going to be one point in this story, that the expression of love is more important than the manifestation of that expression in some types of gift. Someone can give something very expensive just because out of ego, they want to show how rich they are. And out of love, someone can offer something that doesn't have much worth. But ultimately, the greatest gift is love, because that's the most pleasure that anyone can feel. It's the feeling of being loved and the feeling of love, loving. To being loved and to love. Because that is, even if it's not pure, that's what, it's a manifestation of the pure Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency. The pleasure potency of God is love. Without that, there is no pleasure. But Krishna was smiling because Sudama is so humble. He's ashamed. He's surrounded by the goddess of fortune, and I'm offering some broken chipped rice. And then Krishna glances towards his friend, and he sees in his very simple garment, his emaciated veins showing through his emaciated skin and his ragged clothes that astonished everyone, that someone would come to see. Your dress is an expression of yourself, therefore when you come before the deity or someone important, then if you're too casual, it may indicate that you don't care, that the person is not important. But Krishna, he perfectly knows perfectly, abhija bhuta bhutamana abhija. He knows perfectly the heart of all living entities. So Krishna is smiling because he knows the humility of that Brahmin, that he's almost ashamed of what he has. So Krishna, in his mind, he knows what the Brahmin really has, which is love, which is expressed in the best he can give, even though it's not valuable. So Krishna is smiling because he's thinking, how long are you going to keep this precious gift hidden in your cloth? He's also laughing because the symptoms of poverty will not last until morning. So Krishna is now reciprocating with his devotees. The Supreme Lord said, O Brahmana, now he verbalizes why he's smiling. Oh, what gift have you brought to me from home? I regard as great even the smallest gift offered by my devotees in pure love. But even great offerings presented by non-devotees do not please me. Puri prema. Puri, immense love. Uparitam, offered by the devotees. And when it is for the non-devotees, even buddhi. The devotees bhavet puri, it becomes big. But for the non-devotees, the total shaya, I'm not satisfied. Sometimes we fall prey to a culture where things become superficial and external. Love is the most valuable thing, because that's what happiness is. Everything is done by for happiness, but happiness is a condition of the heart. So if you give someone something, even if it's valuable, but if for some reason or another, it's done with motive, it's not pleasing. Tam pushpam palanto yam yo me bhaktya priyachiti taraham bhaktyu paritam asnami pratyatattaha. So these are spoken in the Bhagavad Gita also. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a water, a fruit, a leaf, a flower, a fruit, a water, I will accept it. So this is bhakti. Bhakti means out of love you do things. I just know. How are you doing? Come on in. No problem. You're working here today. Okay. Good, good, good. I'm just kind of finishing up. I give a class on the... Okay.
You can fall into it. No.
Oh, you come. Oh, good. I will give class. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, do you work freely? That's the most important thing here. I'm by the grace of Yukin Bar and Pusha Shukta. When I stay in New York, I get to stay. They have a hall. It's beautiful. And they have a futon they set out of bed for me. But they have cooking classes and the work has to begin. So, Siddhanta is an anxiety. And he's an anxiety because he can't offer anything substantial. So through that, Krishna is explaining the philosophy, which substantial is love. And therefore, if you offer me with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, a fruit, he's pacifying, he's saying, I want the love. And that's what bhakti means. Out of love, you offer something. And bhakti means to give the best. Now, what is best varies according to your capacity. You know, sometimes they have these some kind of charity, you know, and you'll see a very, very poor person give everything for that charity, for that worthy cause. Even though it's not much, it's so greatly appreciated. Again, this is the world where consciousness is valued. Well, consciousness is happiness. Consciousness is love. And external things have value when they're connected to the evolvement of consciousness. Even our needs and our desires have value when the fulfillment of them is connected to the evolvement of our consciousness. And if it's not, it has no value. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Dharma Bhagude Bhute Shukam, I am sex life, according to spiritual principles. When it's done with an intention or purpose, then it becomes very, very valuable. And we're seeing in this story how, when is the class today? What? 11. Okay. No, you, this is 100%. It's my great pleasure that all the work goes on here. Don't worry about it. Whatever noise, whatever you have to do, just do it. Of course. So, and therefore, Krishna only accepts things from his devotees. It can be the most gourmet meal in the world, but Krishna will not accept it unless it's an offering of love, unless he can taste love through that offering. We'll finish with one more verse. Even after being addressed in this way, O king, the Brahmin felt too embarrassed to offer his palmfuls of flat rice to the husband of the goddess of fortune. He simply kept his head bowed in shame. Being the direct witness, the hearts of all living entities, Lord Krishna fully understood why Sudama had come to see him. Thus he thought, in the past, my friend has never worshipped me out of a desire for material opulence. But now he has come to me to satisfy his chaste and devoted wife. I will give him riches that even the immortal demigods cannot obtain. Okay, we'll end now. Anybody like to ask any questions? Oh, they can't. Anybody like to ask any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to you. I have a question from the beginning about Pradyumna Prabhu's reservation about exuberance of kirtan. This, now, I mean, that's, now, thinking that in a whole night I was listening in the kirtan from New Vrindavan. Actually now Agnidev Prabhu is singing.
Who's singing now?
It's Agnidev Prabhu. Agnidev.
Okay.
That's you. Yeah.
Okay.
Very nice. And also last night when I was, actually I fell asleep when Hari Kirtan Prabhu was singing. And as a matter of fact, I dreamed that you were there, you know, and you were chanting. So that was, you know, my revelation. You know,
what is that on? The how do you get
on,
Mayapur TV?
Yeah, Mayapur.tv. You know, they were giving live, you know, for 24 hours. It's almost finishing now. So my question is, Maharaj, the Pratham Prabhu's reservation about exuberance of Kirtan. But this is one way of some people to bring Krishna consciousness, like Narad Muni mentioned, Janatena Prakarena Krishna Mana Shivayat. By hook or crook, bring your mind to the service of the Lord.
No, we also discussed that it's actually good, even if other things are mixed in, right? I mean, just incidentally mixed in. It's good to express yourself, and people are engaged in Krishna consciousness. It's very, very wonderful. But he was talking more in terms of the people who are spiritual leaders and have the responsibility to deliver kirtan. He was talking more about that. Like that, why is Madhava so much appreciated in kirtan? Right? Because it's pure. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Agnidev, so many good kirtaniers. But the same sense that when it tends to become exhibitionist, and so therefore, you know, people have responsibility to make sure the kirtan is always pure. Right?
Yeah.
But of course.
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj Yamku, because that reminded me when Prakashananda Maharaj and Prakashananda Saraswati criticized Lord Chaitanya because he was, you know, dancing in the street of Varanasi, and he told me he was sentimental. So, of course,
that's
a
good point, right?
Yes.
That is a very, very good point, because that's an example where I guess the thing about Lord Chaitanya is he wanted to check it, but he couldn't. Right?
Yes.
He wanted to check his ecstasies, but he couldn't. But I really like your questions. Yeah. It's great that everybody's exuberant, et cetera. But he's philosophical and just commenting that there has to be some, people have to be a little bit careful.
Right.
Two. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else like to ask a question?
Hello?
Who is this?
Tiana. I mean,
Goloka.
Goloka?
Goloka. Great.
Hi,
Krishna.
Good morning. Hare Krishna.
Good.
I just wanted to say, I think that the kirtan starts at 10 o'clock on Sunday, and then you talk at 10:30.
I do, right. Are you going to come?
No, I'm actually out of town. I'm in Connecticut right now.
Okay. Yeah, right. At 10 o'clock, the kirtan starts here, then 10:30, I come down. Yes, thank you. Thank you for coming on, Goloka. Hare Krishna.
The other person said 11. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
What starts at 11?
Well, because I thought that somebody in the background had said that you were speaking at 11.
The kirtan starts at 10:30, and then, you know, around 11, maybe a little bit earlier. Okay, like that. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry.
Henry, Hare Krishna. Yes. I just booked my flight to Washington in July, but unfortunately I will miss your association there because you won't be there, but okay. Thank you. Okay. Did anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Gaurang Bhaktadas.
Hi, how are you going? Good. Thank you. Good. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Bhav Maharaj.
Shastra Hare Krishna. Good.
Hare Maharaj.
Oh. Oh. Hare Krishna.
One or two more. Who's that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Boy, I couldn't unmute the phone. You know, it kept saying that that you had muted the conference every time I pressed star 6.
Okay.
Even though other people could get in, you know, I kept getting that recording, you know?
Okay, well, somehow you broke through.
Well, because I called back. I just hang up and call back. But anyway,
okay.
Is it late to ask or what? Should I wait?
It's kind of one more question, then I really have to go because we need to.
Okay. Yeah, real quick, I just wanted to. Well, first, I really want to tell you how whenever you speak about love and, you know, and our relationship with love and stuff like that, I can't tell you how much, how loudly and precisely you resonate with my heart. It's just amazing every time. But anyway, my question is, you know, whenever you talk about the fact that Vyasadeva, you know, at the 2 days of realization, he saw Krishna exchanging with his energy. So we interpret that to mean that he was seeing Krishna's pastimes, because isn't that what exchanging with his energies means?
That does mean, Maya Chitada Pashtayam does mean he saw Krishna's pastimes. Unfortunately, yeah, I really, really have to go now because...
Okay, so we'll do it later then. We'll do it later.
Okay, thank you. All right, good.